Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned that to him as righteousness, the very beginning of our covenant relationship with God, in those words read for us by Peter. We are following a three-part theme through these first Sundays of Lent, tracing a path from our own first experiences of God's love and the way in which those experiences draw us into Christian community, through our own first faltering efforts to live out our faith in practical acts of discipleship, and finally to our deepening understanding of the ideas of our faith, the faith that does not lead us to, but results from our engagement with disciples, with the world of need and hunger. So today we find ourselves in the middle of that arc, at step two. And the idea of all of this is drawing on an insight from Jane Shaw's little book, A Practical Christianity. And it's the idea that we don't come to perfect our understanding of Christian doctrine and then behave like disciples. Instead, it is the other way around. We get to right belief as a result of doing the things that disciples do. To say that in different words, we don't think our way into behaving like Christians. We act our way into thinking and then believing like Christians. Some of those acts are simple to do and easy to identify. We instantly recognize them as the acts of Christian disciples because they fill in a certain outline. In the old language of the church, we used to call those things works of mercy. There were two kinds of works of mercy, corporal and spiritual. Corporal works of mercy were the ways in which we were to look out for the material needs of other people, the needs dictated by the terms of this world. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, care for the sick, visit the prisoners, bury the dead. The spiritual acts of mercy were a little different. They are the acts by which we look after the souls of other people. Most of us were pretty clear on the practical matters of the material world, but maybe where we were a little hazy on imagining ourselves carrying out any of these spiritual acts of mercy, instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, admonishing the sinful, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving offenses willingly, comforting the afflicted, praying for the living and the dead. You might have thought at least some of those things were just the priest's job. It turns out we're all supposed to be doing all these things, and I confess that I am still working on the bearing wrongs patiently part. It is not an abstraction that we are given these guidelines. Make no mistake about it, this list of recommended ways of behaving are the charter and constitution of our Christian community. When Paul speaks to the Philippians this morning about our citizenship being in heaven, he is not just speaking in a poetic metaphor. He means something very real. Like any constitution, this list of works of mercy that we are meant to act out in our behavior toward each other, it's not just a list of recommended actions, it is what binds us together as a community. Paul would have been the first to say that in the order of things before the coming of Christ, there was also a constitution, a charter document of the community. That document was the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And taken together with all of the other more particular instructions of the Torah, that was the covenant code, the charter for a community of God's people bound together in a covenant relationship, not just with God, but with each other. Same is true for all of us. We have a covenant code. Like the first covenant code, it has major constitutional claims and specific recommendations about how to act so as to live a good life. The specific recommendations are the works of mercy. The constitutional claims are stated clearly when Jesus summarizes the law. Love God with everything you have and everything you are, and love your neighbor as yourself, period. Now, this all began as a sermon about acting out our faith as disciples as a step on the path of coming more deeply to grasp the claims of our faith. So here's the point where those two themes come together. Because yes, it is true that our acting as disciples comes before our deepening growth in faith and not the other way around. And yes, it is true that being part of the Christian community means being part of a covenanted community, a community in which we're bound not just to God, but to each other, and in which we live out the claims of those bonds in very specific ways. This all starts to take on very substantial meaning when you add one last piece to the puzzle. It is this, that being part of a covenant is itself not a matter of belief, but a matter of action. Being in a covenant is an act of faith. When we are baptized, we enter by virtue of that baptism into a community of people bound to each other, not by a contract, but by a covenant. And we don't make a lot of covenants. We make them carefully and selectively, exactly because they demand everything from us. They demand that we give ourselves unconditionally, and that is a profound act of faith. All of us here make promises to God, and we do our best to keep our promises, but do not ever forget that a part of what it means to be in this place, to be a part of this community called the church, is that we are also bound to each other by promises, by a covenant. And that covenant calls on us to act toward each other in very specific ways. So, just in case you needed a reminder, I tucked it into the leaflet this morning. You can put it up on the fridge at home and remind yourself every morning what it is you have promised to all of us that you will do, and what all of us have promised we will do toward you. We tend to our covenant with God by tending to our covenant with each other and with anyone else who comes in here anytime, period. Living out the terms of this covenant, acting in ways that make real these works of mercy, that is exactly the means by which God's transforming love breaks into the world and changes despair into hope and mourning into joy. We will not always succeed, and we will not always look like we know what we're doing. But when we work together, when we encourage each other, when we believe in each other, it gets easier and easier. And then we are empowered and emboldened to turn these acts, these works of mercy, loose in the world as well. Amen.